This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez
on 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my heart and freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
It is finally Friday night, and it's so exciting to follow such a huge Blackhawks win. And, you know, it's the end of the season. It feels good going out. And this kind of a high. You know, we're not making it into the playoffs, but that feels good. And now, of course, the Cubby's not doing great. Somebody on our tech screen, Roger, hoping that I am backing the Sox and not the Cubs. It's going to be a rough season for the Cubs this year, don't you think?
So far, that is the trend.
That seems to
but
be
again,
the
we
case.
Got 150-something games. And being the optimistic pessimist that I am,
yes,
like, oh, it might rain. Yeah, it will rain, except when it's not.
Right.
So it's an optimistic pessimist.
They're gonna lose some games. It would be nice if they stopped losing.
It would be nice if they won more than they lost.
That's always helpful.
Yeah.
Speaking of winning, Roger, first of all, we all win because you are back, and we are getting some texts already from folks that are saying,
goodness,
Roger's back. They want to make sure that you're taking it easy. And so a lot of people are thrilled to hear your voice again on Friday night. And of course, the rest of the weekend, yes, you think?
That's the plan.
Yeah. Well, now, speaking of winning, I had to wait till tonight to announce this on the air. I received a package yesterday. You know, we get a lot of mail here.
Tons of mail.
Yeah, a lot of people send books, and they'll send and really nice letters from a lot of listeners. I've been lucky the last couple years. I haven't gotten as much of the angry mail as I used to get. I'm not sure what happened. Yeah, that's been kind of nice. But and by the way, if you feel like you don't want to put pen to paper and you're angry, express yourself.
Yeah.
But I got a package yesterday, and I thought it was going to be a book, and I opened it, and it's a plaque, and I start reading it, and I thought, and it says at the top, it has a firecracker on the emblem, and it says Evanston 4th of July Association, established 1992, right? And this has to be, now you've seen the our entry into the Skokie Parade. Right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's just the van and me riding on top of it dressed as Captain America.
Right.
But a female version, more Captain America if he were wearing a tutu, which is not really, I don't know how Chris Evans feels about that.
It's the tutu that does it.
Is it the tutu?
Yeah, it is.
And so I get this plaque, and it says Evanston 4th of July Association, second place motor vehicle.
Second place motor vehicle?
I don't understand.
Do you know how many motor vehicles are in that parade?
How is this? This has to be, like, somebody must have been like, we'll just send it to Patty Vasquez. Like, they had to have had, like, a leftover. I mean, Representative Robert Martwick joins me in studio. You can verify the validity of what I'm saying on the air.
I will tell you, having spent many years marching in that parade as a youngster when we lived in Evanston, and when I was working at the high school, we had floats and groups there. So they do give awards in Evanston.
But let's be honest.
In various categories.
But let's be honest. Motor vehicle? I mean, Representative Martwick, you've seen the WGN fan van.
I've seen the fan van, and did you win second place for fan fans?
No, for motor vehicles.
All motor vehicles. So
all the classic cars.
Historic fire trucks.
Yes, motor vehicle.
Your second place.
Now I have to I need to know who won first place, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's easy. Go to the Evanston Review from July.
Right, 2018.
When is it, from this past year?
Yes, and that's the other thing. We are well into April. We are closer to the next 4th of July. Than we are to the previous 4th of July.
Tell me that they said, oh, hey, second place goes to WGN Radio. How do we get it to them?
Right.
Where are they?
Right. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I didn't do.
Well,
I
was, wait a minute. We moved in July.
Right. But it didn't say like, maybe. It didn't say. I don't know. I don't know. But okay. There's so much wrong with this. Wouldn't you say? I mean, all the way around, there's something wrong with this.
I think it's awesome.
We have to do some investigating and find out what they base their criteria on.
Yeah. they need to, they're going to need to recruit better for vehicles if that's the, you know.
Right? And, but, okay, so here's the other thing, everybody, which I've never, ever mentioned on the air. And if Marlene Wells or Todd Manley are listening, they're gritting their teeth right now. So I have, for the last 5 years, taken the fan van every, and you know, I took it down to Springfield, yep. right? And I've parked it down at Springfield and I've parked it in front of my house. I got not one, but two tickets last year when I had the fan van for the 4th of July for parking a commercial vehicle on a residential street. Hi. Yeah. That happened.
Really?
Yes.
So wait. So
yes.
Wait.
And they
wait.
Knew who they were giving the ticket to.
They gave you a ticket and a plaque.
Yeah.
I've never gotten a plaque for my tickets. There are some tickets I should have gotten a plaque for.
Yeah, I got the van last year got two tickets. I don't think the second place plaque makes up for the fact that I cost the station $150 in parking tickets.
Oops.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing is, I'm hesitant to ask them for the van again, but I kind of feel like maybe the plaque helps me get the van again this year.
Definitely.
Think? You think that might help?
Yeah. Sure. You got to shoot for first.
Yeah. you got to straighten this all out. Steve, what would you like to say, our friend? What's up?
Well, on the I just wanted to bring up in sports with the Chicago Blackhawks, great season that they had. It was fun to watch. And I don't know if they could do a trade. If the sports guy can ever, if you tell the relate to the sports guy, Seabrook for the Blackhawks or Jonathan Quick of the Los Angeles Kings, maybe we get another goalie in there.
All right. Well, we will put your submissions in, and I'm just glad that you are happy with the way the game and the season. I mean, you know, we love our Blackhawks.
It was fun. It was really exciting. You know, they could score with 2 seconds left in the third period, and that is just awesome.
Isn't it?
Patrick.
Yeah, we love our Blackhawks. You have a great weekend, Steve, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Representative Robert Martwick joins us in studio. We have to take a break here, but I know that, I know traffic was bad, so I know that that's what held you up for a few minutes, because I was sweating it on the way here. But I wanted to, Ro, you were not here on Tuesday, and we had a very dramatic moment. Yes, we were, you know, talking about the election results. We had kind of moved on from the mayoral election. We were waiting for Melissa Conyers Irvin to call, and she was busy celebrating as well. So we were like, oh, you know, she's busy. She might have just forgotten or whatever. And then I got a text from somebody, and they're like, are you on the air right now? And I said, yes. And they said, do you want to talk to Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot? And I was like, sure, whatever. Like, I'm like, yeah, okay, that's going to happen. And they're like, what's the hotline number? So, you can't say just in case, right? You should say, well, here's the number. So I gave them the number, and it's someone from her campaign. I know that they know her. And then I went to the bathroom, you know, like walking around, and we're in the middle of news, and I come back and I see there's an incoming call, and I see it says typed into the screen, Lori Lightfoot, Vic Vaughn's in the middle of the news. And I was like, and Cassara was like, I think we have Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot on the line. I was like, we have to interrupt Vic. We can't make her wait. We can't be like, we're going to talk to you after weather. So all of us are completely confused and not entirely certain we actually have Lori Lightfoot on the line. So when we come back after the break, you'll hear my stumbling through, what? And not having any idea that we were about to interview the next mayor of Chicago. More in a moment on 720 WGN. On Tuesday night, the city of Chicago turned out, not in great numbers, Representative Martwick. Our district over at the Root and Tootin 19th only had, I know that the numbers were just low. In my precinct that I was judging for the election, we only had about 170 people show up out of almost 1,000.
Yeah,
right?
Low.
So that's like less than 20%.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 17.5.
That's
beauty.
Good math.
Yeah, thank you very much. I've been working on that since Tuesday.
Yeah.
And the we knew that it was going to be an interesting day. I didn't even put out feelers for whoever the winner was going to be. You know, just figure. I mean, we're on in the middle of the night, and that's what guests actually say to me. You know, when I ask them to come on the show, well, who's listening at 11 o'clock at night? So that was part of what made it so wonderful and remarkable. And for me, is to be part of the history of Lori Lightfoot calling us. She didn't talk to any other journalists that night. We checked. We've been trying to find other interviews that she's done, but at least we were the first. And it was also kind of this idea, the idea that she called us it's also a reminder of how important WGN is in the story of Chicago and in the history of Chicago and the relevance of radio. And it felt great to hear that conversation. So I wanted, for those of you who might have missed it, and my husband actually asked if I would air this again. So we're going to listen to the interview we did on Tuesday. We can hear me be quite unsure as to whether or not I'm actually about to speak to the next mayor of Chicago. Go ahead. Mayor-elect.
Hey, Patty.
Hi, Lori. I recall having an interview with you. I'm very good. I'm wondering how you're doing tonight.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I don't know why. I'm guessing there's a lot of celebration going on where you are. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm trying to move away from the crowd. How are you?
We're pretty good. I think we're part of the crowd that wishes you a congratulations on a historic evening. How are you feeling?
You know what? I feel really, really overwhelmed with joy and just humbled by the incredible response that we received from voters all over the city.
You know, a lot of conversations are obviously revolving around how historic this is, but we're wondering what you want to tell the city of Chicago and what this means for them as citizens of a city that has struggled in so many ways and is looking for hope.
Well, I just want to say thank you. People have placed their hope and confidence in me, and I'm going to work hard every day to earn it.
What were you hearing? Because I know you never took your foot off the gas. No matter what
No.
the poll numbers were, you kept showing up.
No.
And in districts that not necessarily, you know, were going to go your way. I was the judge of elections in Jefferson Park, a neighborhood that doesn't necessarily,
Oh, okay.
Yeah, doesn't necessarily lean toward, progressive politics. What were you hearing from different neighborhoods in the city?
You know, what I heard from people resoundingly is that they really want to change. They were really sick of the same old, and we're looking for something new and inspirational and something that they could have confidence in. So, you know, we talk a lot about really changing the compact between, you know, residents in a city and its government. And I think that message really resonated with people.
This has been such a long year for you. Andrea Darlis and I had you in the studio last summer, months before.
Oh, yeah.
But months before, Mayor Rahm Emanuel said that he was not going to seek re-election. What drew you into the race in the first place? Because other people, you know, saw an opportunity when they saw he was leaving, and you didn't wait for that.
No, I didn't wait because I thought our city was headed in the wrong direction. And I just saw people all across the city who were growing up in families like mine, low-wage, working-class families that were just struggling. And it was very clear to me that there was no plan to help them. And I have been very, very lucky in my life, and I wanted to make sure that I was an advocate and a voice for people whose voices really needed to be heard.
What are your plans for the next few days? I mean, what is a relaxing after a grueling campaign like this look for? What does that mean for you in the next few days?
Well, for me, certainly we're not going to be at the same pace that we were, but there's a lot of work to be done between now and May 20th when swearing-in happens in the inauguration. So I want to hit the ground running and start working on making sure that we are ready to govern from day one.
Again, we are talking to Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot. Did Tony Preckwinkle reach out to you tonight?
She did. She did.
What was your conversation like?
Well, it was a very brief conversation. She said she was calling to congratulate me, and I thanked her for that and told her that I look forward to working with her.
And I don't want to keep you too long because I know that you are in the middle of celebrating with so many people who have helped you get to where you are today. What do you want to say to all the supporters who really worked tirelessly in this campaign?
I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And people have sacrificed so much, and I'm deeply, deeply appreciative.
And I have to ask, are there folks that are still kind of going, we did it? There has to be a sense of astonishment as well in your campaign,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, and me included, we're pinching ourselves at the incredible mandate that we've received, and we're very, very committed to making sure that we are true to that mandate.
I know that that's going to take a lot of work, and you have to build alliances. You're coming into a city hall, you know, one with people under investigation. There's a lot of rumors about these tapes.
Yeah.
What do you want to do in order to sort of, you know, work together and build a, you know, an alliance or an allegiance with the people that you're going to be working with in all these communities?
Well, I think it's really important for us to set a standard of integrity. I want people to have faith and confidence in my administration, that we were going to do the right thing, that we're going to put them first. That was something that I ran on, that I believe in, and we're going to make government much more transparent and accountable to ordinary people.
And you, by the way, I don't think a lot of people are talking about the new treasurer-elect, Melissa Conyers-Irvin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the idea she has? And you just mentioned transparency. That's her plan as well. And, you know, she has a lot of experience with trying to work on our state pensions. What is your relationship going to be like with Springfield?
Well, I think having a very good, productive relationship with Springfield is critically important. I'm happy that we have a governor and members of the General Assembly who understand and recognize the importance of Chicago. But we'll have a very robust Chicago agenda for Springfield, and similarly with Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's what I think a lot of people are looking for, because we have all this negative language that goes back and forth between us and Washington. I know that, Paul, you can ask a question. We have Paul Farvar in the studio as well. Do you mind if he asks you a question while we have
sure.
you?
No, I didn't have a question. I was just going to congratulate you on a great win. That's all. I wanted to say I talked to you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, a lot of folks geeking out about how incredible this moment is. We were in studio and not expecting this. We want to thank John O'Malley, who is our legal expert and a contributor on the show. And of course, we would love to pre-record interviews with you. I would invite you back anytime. Your schedule is going to get a little tighter now. I think you're aware of that.
A little bit.
Just a little
bit. You guys have been great. To me, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on this show.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you joined us so late at night and well into the hours of your celebration. Carry on. Enjoy yourself. Congratulations.
Yes.
This is so monumental, I know, for the people in your life. So I want you to be able to spend some time with them. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Again, Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot making history in Chicago. And she knows that. And it's going to keep sinking in. It's going to get real. I swear it will.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you so much. Bye. Live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Hope everyone had a chance to listen to the White Sox game today. They were broadcasting. Everyone was there today. I had a lot to do tonight. I was doing a fundraiser for the incredible folks with the Northwestern Memorial Auxiliary of Central DuPage Hospital and Del Norte Hospitals, and helping raise some money for some future medical professionals and hopefully encourage them to stay in the community. We are, we have our finally Friday panel in studio. We have with us Ken J. Gubowski. You know what's so funny, Mike? You gave me your card, and I was like, yeah, thanks a lot for that. I appreciate it. I got it. Mike Lieber, Ken J. Gubowski, Dave Lundy, and Representative Robert Martwick. I'll do it that way and do titles later because we got to hit the ground running with a shorter show. Representative Martwick represents the 19th District, the Rootin' Tootin' 19th District. And we have Dave Lundy, who is the... I'll do titles now since I just did that. Should I? Everything feels off. It's weird today. We love having Mike here, but we miss Elliot and Eric. Maybe that's part of it.
It's throwing you off.
A little bit.
Oh. Well, and the idea of Mike playing the Republican, it just doesn't work.
Oh, did we not tell you that's what you have to do tonight?
I'll be the Republican, and I'll also do Yoda's voice.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's it. You're right.
Exactly. It's going to be a long night. We're going to talk about some city topics, some state issues, and of course some of the headlines from national news. Representative Martwick, you have I saw on social media, and we talked about this a little bit earlier today, that you have passed something that you worked very hard on, which is the elected school boards for Chicago. Tell us a little bit about this bill.
So it's a bill that I've been working on for the past 4 years. It's the third time I've passed it through the House of Representatives. In the past, it's gotten stalled in the Senate. It's sort of met a weird fate in the Senate. But it feels a little bit different this time. So ran the bill this time, had an overwhelming majority, 110-2 was the passage.
So this is bipartisan.
Bipartisan support, overwhelming support, really. And very excited about it. Reason being is that in the past, both of these bills were passed under the Rauner administration, and of course it was questionable about whether or not he was going to sign the bill. And of course, the really the biggest opponent to the bill and the biggest stumbling block was Mayor Emanuel, who was adamantly opposed to an elected school board. He wanted to keep that appointment power to himself. Now that he's leaving office, mayor-elect had said during the campaign that she was in full support of it. So it feels like there's a really good possibility that this will pass. It's been something that I've worked on for 4 years, but advocates for this have been working on it for a decade, trying to get elected accountability returned to the citizens of the city of Chicago.
Go ahead, Ken.
So our mayor-elect was for it, and now she's, would you say, waffling or against it?
She gave an interview today, and you know, if I'm being fair, and I want to say that she's been pretty busy with her campaign for mayor, which is, you know, you gotta be ready to talk about a whole lot of issues. And so she gave an interview. She was put on the spot. She said a few things. I of course want to give her the benefit of the doubt. She said throughout the campaign that she was in support of a fully elected school board. She expressed some concerns with the structure of the bill, and I look forward to meeting with her in Springfield and seeing if we can address some of those issues.
See, I would think that the objection would be similar to Elizabeth Warren's suggestion that public companies should have 40% of their board elected by workers. And the concern would be utter chaos on boards, mismanagement of company, you know, basically unqualified people. And I would think that with an elected school board, any Yahoo could run and might get elected. That would not be good for the school board, because you do need expertise to be on the board. So how can you get past that issue? There's probably a way.
It's actually pretty easy, Ken. It's called democracy. So let me ask you this question. What are the minimal qualifications for running for alderman?
Clearly nothing.
Yes. What are the minimal qualifications for running for the state legislature?
Age. Isn't it age and residency?
None. What are the qualifications for running for Congress?
Age, 25.
25. Right, yeah. What are the qualifications for becoming president of the United States?
Ooh, I know this.
35. And beyond that, nothing.
Natural born.
That's exactly right. Natural, there's no test.
Citizen.
There's no minimum experience level. We live in a country where we value citizen participation in democracy, and there is no legislative body, and that's what a school district is, a school board is. It's the legislative body for the school district. There is no legislative body that has some sort of experience test. There's no boxes that you have to check. If you are a citizen, you can run and you can serve. And so, you know, I mean, listen, the mayor-elect has very little experience in government. I understand that this is probably a new concept to her, but I just think that was, you know, I get it, right? We want people that have experience. There's no doubt about it. But experience should be a question for the voters. It should not be a litmus test. I mean, let's think about it this way. Mayor-elect Lightfoot had zero experience in government, but the voters chose to vote for her over someone who had experience. So that should be a question for the voters, not...
And to your point, there are many people serving on local school boards that just decided, hey, I want to be involved. My child's going to school.
That's right.
I have no governmental experience, but I care enough about the school. I want to be on the school board, and they go for their local election and they win. So it would be the same thing, just on a broader scale.
And more than that, Ken, it's not just parents that serve on school boards. Sometimes it's senior citizens, because everyone is affected by the performance of the schools, and everyone has to pay taxes to the schools, and it schools are a public benefit that affects everyone. Everyone should have a right to serve.
Just by way of history, I know it's been about 20 years that we haven't had an elected
school. Actually, we've never had an elected school board in Chicago. It's 20 years since there has been full authoritarian control by the mayor.
Gotcha.
Are school boards already, they're paid and they get pensions? Because someone, of course, went right away. School board is just 20 more union pensions that the taxpayers will be on the hook for.
So actually, in this school board and in every school board across the state of Illinois, there is no salary, there is no benefits.
So I hope that helps you. 312, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've actually come around on this issue. I was very much in the camp of, you know what, we have so many problems in the city of Chicago. The mayor needs to be held accountable. The only way to hold him accountable is to have him appoint the school board, and then, you know, under the system that was created 20 years ago. And I've come to recognize, having watched the school board and having known people who've served on the school board who've been very frustrated at the lack of transparency and the default of shutting down the public and saying, you know what, it's not working. It's not working. And when I think about how municipalities around the state do it, they elect their school boards. We elect our school board in Wilmette. We've elected friends to our school board in Wilmette. In fact, the woman who's running the mayor-elect transition, we elected her to the Wilmette school board 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, I don't understand why that would work for everybody else but not work for the city of Chicago. I've come around 180 degrees, and I am fully on board with doing this now.
Well, and I appreciate that. You know, one of the things that I say often when people ask me about my push for this is I can't guarantee you that an elected school board is going to produce better outcomes. But what it can give you is accountability over your democracy. Think about this. The vast majority of tax dollars that you pay goes to fund the Chicago Public Schools. The vast majority of tax dollars that you pay. But in that instance, right, what is one of the basic precepts, the basic tenets of democracy? No taxation
without representation. Sorry about that. I was going to turn everyone's mic off.
There was a tea party about that.
No taxation without representation. And yet in the Chicago Public Schools, the vast majority of tax dollars go there, and we have no accountability over the actions of the board. I'm not saying that an elected board is not going to have problems or issues, but we will then have accountability over the decisions they make.
4 year or 6 year terms?
4 years.
Is there any concern that there's going to be kind of an election arms race with, you know,
sure,
vast amounts?
Absolutely.
Of money.
And so when I was first drafting the bill and putting it together, the two biggest concerns that people came to me with was concern about the influence of special interest money, number one, and number two, ensuring that minority communities had adequate representation on the board. And so instead of like the Los Angeles school district is 7 elected members that run citywide, well, that ensures that there will be massive dollars spent and that there's very little chance for minorities to serve. What I did was I took the city of Chicago, I cut it up into 20 election districts so that now with smaller districts, you lessen the influence of money. I can't eliminate it, but you lessen it. Smaller districts, less money needed to run. And by segmenting the city into 20 districts, you provide for the opportunity for there to be greater minority representation. So I've often heard, well, 20 is too many. And that was one of the things that Mayor-elect said. And I get that, right? 20 is too many for a school board. But she's about to preside over a city council with 50. She's about to go down to Springfield and lobby 177 legislators and then go to Washington and 492, right? 492, is that right?
535. Sorry about
535, yes. Okay. So, so my point is that 20, you can lessen the number of school board members based on my bill, and I'm happy to look into that. But there is a trade-off. The smaller the number of school board members, the larger the districts. The larger the districts, the more the influence of money and the less opportunity for minority representation. So it's a straight trade-off.
I've got to take a break here. More conversation when we come back on 720 WGN. And Eric Elk joins the conversation by text in a second. It's finally Friday, and we've got our panel in studio. Dave Lundy, Mike Lieber, we've got Kendra Gabowski, Representative Robert Martwick joins us. Eric Elk texted in. We're going to take his text in a moment. Jasmine wanted to talk about the election. She texted earlier. We've got a lot going on, and we just want to make sure we got to that conversation. Jasmine, how are you doing?
I'm in a good, semi-good mood tonight.
Excellent.
I finish my program at Ikree Woods, so that means I'm currently free until college.
What? Congratulations.
Yep. So I'm finally ready to take on the big sighted world.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so excited for you. What did you think about Tuesday night's election results?
I kind of felt it coming for the last month because it seemed like Lori Lightfoot was making Preckwinkle look kind of bad. So I kind of sensed that it was going to happen. And originally I was on the Well, since the election is over, I think I can share. I was originally on the side of Preckwinkle because, you know, I heard that she was used to be in the classroom and used to be part of our education system. And, you know, with me being used to being in public school, I knew how crappy it was. So I thought, yeah, she'd probably be good for that. And then I had a very long conversation with my grandmother where she explained what the old machine means to me. And she also explained that Preckwinkle put the taxes on our sodas. So eventually I thought and I switched my vote. And I'm glad Lightfoot won. We now have a black woman gay mayor in Chicago. And I think that's a pretty cool example that the world is changing.
Well, and I know in conversations that you and I have had, you know, there's a lot of things going on at your school. They actually, Representative Martwick is actually a good person to talk to about this. You know, she goes to a school where they cut the nurse who was on staff, and they have a lot of students who take, you know, and that was a state cut. Was that what you were told, Jasmine?
I had to ask some of the staff about this because I didn't hear about this. Apparently, some other students did, but I don't remember hearing about it. So I was very upset. And yeah, they said it wasn't anything that they did. It wasn't a part of anything that having to do with iCreed. It was just Springfield decided to cut the medical department because I guess they figure iCreed Wood is right across from UIC. But so I guess they figure we could just go there if they needed medical stuff. But hospitals are expensive.
Right. And I think a lot of things are still shaking out from the previous administration. I think hopefully they can come to a situation that helps people rather than where we landed with the budget deficit for such a long time.
Yeah. The decision about in Jasmine, are you in CPS, Chicago Public Schools?
Not anymore.
I was.
Was. Yes.
I graduated
right
a year ago.
Yeah. So the decision about nurse staffing and social workers and counselors and all that, that is a CPS decision. There probably were complaining about lack of funding from the state, but of course, once we pass our education funding reform bill, we have been increasing funding by $350 million every year, and CPS is getting most of that. So some of that should be alleviated, but the decision about the nurses, that was a decision of the appointed school board.
Right. Well, there you go. Hey, Jasmine, we've got some listeners. One listener from the 815 says, cheers to Jasmine and her quest moving forward to college. Well done. And another listener says, it's so great to hear Jasmine on the air tonight. Thank you for calling in, Jasmine.
You're welcome. I'll hopefully be talking to you guys again soon. And let's hope that baseball season gets better.
Yeah.
Hey, the White Sox won.
That's right. Go Sox.
I mean, you know.
Still weird for me to say. Have a great night, Jasmine. We'll talk to you again soon.
Good night.
Take care. If Joe holds on, we've got to go to the break and then the news. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show, and we're happy that you're here. We do have a minute before the news. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show, and on Friday nights, we take on the big headlines of the week. And our friend Joe wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Joe, what'd you want to say?
Listen, hey, you sound enthusiastic. You sound peppy and whatever, and I hope that's indicative how you feel, kiddo.
Oh, I'm feeling better. Thanks, Joe.
Superb. Okay, Lightfoot, I'm glad she was elected. I mean, shoot. I hope she can do a lot of corrective things with city council. School board is important, whatever. But the big elephant in her room is somebody called Fox, okay? Michelle Obama's secretary calls to say, hey, give this to the FBI. Get it out of the Chicago pocket so they can't, interfere, if you will. This is really something else that it demands her attention is priority number one if she wants to clean up the machine in Chicago. Hopefully she will.
Thank you so much for that, Joe. Always great to hear from you. We've got to run to the news. And it's a story that's going to continue to unfold as they try to deal with the ramifications of what went down in the last few months. It is time now for our news. Be well, Joe. Have a great weekend. It's time now for our news. And you know you want to be listening to... Oh, wait. Do I have all these other things? Did you know the average guy will spend 3,000 hours of his time shaving? Harry's founders were two regular guys tired of paying for overpriced gimmicks. They combined a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's, get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3. Plus free shipping. Just use Bill. Wait, is it? You know what it is? These are Bill and Wendy's reads. This. Now I know what happened. I'm like, that's 11:45 a.m. Yeah, hold on a second. Let me just do that. Let's see, 11:59. Nope, not them. Not that one either. Okay, cool. You know you want to be listening to the Steve Cochran show as he it's okay. I don't mind doing their commercials, but we just did one for, let Harry's know that we just did another commercial for them. I was like, wow, we're shaving at night now. I like that. Cool. You know you want to listen to the Steve Cochran show as he celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 7:20 on 7:20 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here with your news is Roger Badish. Roger, more texts coming in. Happy that you are back here at WGN Radio and on the mend. And keeping people posted on Facebook. It's not easy either because, you want to let people know how you're doing, but, you scared me a couple times.
I did?
Well, I was messaging you. I'm like,
Oh, yeah, that. Please. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. But I mean, I'm glad to get the updates and sure. Just want you to know how much we all love you.
I appreciate it. I do. It meant a lot. Everyone sending me notes and stuff. It was totally unexpected. I went 4.5 years without having that situation. One of my doctors says they were amazed that it took that long for it to come back. But I'm going to go for 9 years now for
yes.
the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to wait a while before you...
I think so.
Yeah, we'll take care of yourself.
But thank you to everyone, seriously.
Yeah, it is good to hear your voice.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yay. And I know Noonan will be happy, and I know Matt will be happy when he comes in tonight. Is Matt in tonight?
Yes, he is, He's got a pizza coming.
Excellent.
I promised him.
Excellent. Is one of Jim Gardner's volunteers going to be bringing that pizza for them, I wonder? Did you hear my story about election night? Have you ever been a judge of election?
Yeah, long time ago.
There was no food. All I'm saying is there was going to be a mutiny at our polling place. Yeah,
Could you bring your own food in?
We did. I brought in all the donuts in the morning. I brought a box of coffee. I shared the donuts with the entire room, but I couldn't carry more than one box of coffee. And they were like, is there any coffee for this? I'm like, I only brought one from my precinct. Because we had three precincts and one gymnasium. So
there was no food. They couldn't bring food in?
Because there's an expectation of there being food. Right, Roger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were in the basement of a church. I'm trying to remember if it was the 46th ward or the 48th ward. I can't remember. It was a long, long time ago. And we had a precinct captain who made sure that we were taken care of.
Yeah.
With no, of course, no... political opinions expressed
right.
In the exchange.
Other than the donkeys on the pizza.
Huh? Donkeys on the pizza. I like that.
Yeah. Well, we got rid of those precinct captains. That was part of the machine that we didn't want anymore, so we got rid of them.
Man, now I want the, if it means we're not having pizza, I'm just kidding.
Patty, polls opened at 6 a.m., right?
Yes. I was there at 5 a.m.
Oh, how long after 6 a.m. before your first voter showed up?
No, right away. As soon as we opened the doors, people were showing up.
Okay.
Yeah, there was actually someone we had to tell wait because they'd gotten there like at 5:15.
I got to mine at 6:41. This was in the suburbs, so we didn't have the Chicago mayoral one. But at 6:41, I was the first voter.
Oh,
and they were like, oh, they were so excited. And they said, do you want a paper ballot or an electronic? And I said, I'll do a paper ballot. And they said, you know what? Could you do the electronic so we can get the machine going? And I was like, all right.
Did you bring donuts?
I brought nothing.
So now, I guess the moral of the story is, if you're going to vote really early,
bring
something for the folks there.
No,
bring donuts.
You don't have to do that.
Well, I was talking to my friend Kelly Cassidy, and they had a problem because they discovered that nobody brought food for those folks.
So it was happening all over.
It was happening all over. And so she had this caravan with like dozens and dozens of pizzas.
Oh, wow.
That she was delivering.
Yeah, one of so the incoming alderman, his
feed your peeps.
His volunteer came in. It's a 16-hour, we start at 5 and ended about 8:30 or so. So it's a pretty long day. And
wait a second. They don't rotate during the day?
No.
No.
You're there all day?
I'm still,
day?
You know what's interesting is that because you have to make choices, right? How long do you sit? How long do you stand? You have to start moving. My lower back is still, because there's no good way.
15 and a half hours?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yes, this is under the heading of why I've never been in an election.
But I love it.
I don't have the patience.
But I was messaging my friends, and I was like, either Franz, who served two terms in Vietnam, they were not having any of this. They were getting very upset about it. And he was like, I served two terms in two times in Vietnam, and it's going to be this day of judging that's going to take me down, because we were hungry.
And you can have your phone with you, right?
Yes. Well,
no prohibition.
Well, they prefer that you are professional and aren't on your phone the whole time, but you go for hours and nobody comes in, you're going to be on your phone.
Right.
Maybe
they catch up on a lot of TV series and movies.
Not our folks. Mostly we talked. I mean, that's a long day of talking to folks that you don't agree with politically, by the way. I kept very quiet. I was like, uh-huh.
Oh, jeez. I can't even imagine.
They were very upset that Willie Wilson was not in the election. I was like, oh, that would not have been my choice. It would not have been somebody I would have voted for right there. But, Dave, you had your Lundy lunch today following the election, but you guys talked a little bit about the possibility of how many candidates there are now for the Democrats running, hopefully.
Is it 18?
It keeps growing because just this past week, Eric Swalwell got in. Representative Eric Swalwell. He's on the Intelligence Committee. You see him if you watch MSNBC at all.
He's been an MSNBC commentator basically for the last year and a half.
Tim Ryan out of Ohio.
Okay.
Congressman Tim Ryan out of Ohio. And actually, I think the majority of the Democratic caucus has now announced for president. It's a big list.
How many people run for offices like that? Because I was thinking about this with Amaya Pawar. Did he run for governor so that he could elevate his name and then hopefully get into the treasurer's office, that kind of thing? Like, how many people run for higher office just to
Tulsi
elevate?
Tulsi Gabbard, I think, is running for president simply because I think she wants a talk show.
Mm.
Yeah, she's not going to get one. Tulsi Gabbard.
And she's
going to
lose her house seat in the process.
She might end up with something on Fox.
No, no, not even on Fox, because she's an apologist for the government of Syria and for some of she's bad news. I used to love her. I thought she was fantastic.
Oh, she's doubled and tripled down on this,
too.
Oh,
my God.
She hasn't backed off the Syria thing at all. It's like, oh, my God.
So
Tulsi Gabbard was not one of the ones we predicted was going to survive.
There right now, is Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden, still polling the strongest?
Yes.
Well, he's polling the strongest, but I think that's really
such
weak.
A mess. Well, and okay.
So, I don't think Joe Biden's going to be there.
He's not going to survive.
Dave and I disagree on this.
You think Joe's going all the way?
I signed up for Joe, yeah. I did this week.
What do you mean you signed up for Joe?
You go back 30 years for Joe, Ken.
I was with him in 87. I was with him in 2008, and I'm with him again.
Could you talk to him and say, you know what? It was making light of it by saying, I asked for permission to...
No, he needs to stop talking about this and just start talking about the future. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a quick pivot, but it's I do it with some trepidation. I don't know what to expect from this. I just don't know.
I have loved Joe Biden for a long time. In 2015, I joined a group that was based here in Chicago that was like the draft Biden for 2016. Obviously, he didn't run. I think Joe Biden is a great guy, but the problem is this is a change election. Frankly, all elections are change elections. The only question is, do people want change? Or
well,
do
that's
they want the
thing. The job. Let's talk about this. We have to take a break. But you're right. Let's talk about that when we come back because the job reports came out, the numbers came out with a pretty strong indication. Right. So, what do people want to change? Is it just we don't like him? And is that enough? More in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Here, everyone's favorite weatherman. Oh, that's not the one I wanted to read. That was a different one. Huh? I was like, let me tell you other stuff and find one of these. Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin, weeknights on WGN-TV, news at 9. We are hanging out with our Finally Friday crew. We're missing Eric Elk tonight, who is the president and CEO of Fulcrum Illinois. We have in studio with us, we have Kenneth Jacobowski, who is the president of Sirius Enterprises, and also Christ crisis communications expert. We have in studio with us Mike Lieber, who is the founder of the Lieber Law Group. And we have Dave Lundy, the president and CEO of the NEMS. Was it?
No,
I keep doing that.
No CEO yet. Sorry,
president of Aileron.
I can't get my board to promote me. Yeah. It's really
would
problem.
You just get on that already?
You need to have an elected board. 20 districts, you should. You know.
Dave Lundy in studio with us.
We could arrange that.
And Representative Robert Martwick of the Rootin' Tootin' 19th Rootin' Tootin'. District.
So can we go back to the change election?
Yes. So Mike, you were saying before the break that this is an election. You know, are we looking for a candidate that's going to bring change?
Right.
And what are your
right.
thoughts on that?
You know, I love Joe Biden
for the 2020 election for
right,
presidency.
Right. For 2020, I love Joe Biden, but this election, like all elections when you're running against an incumbent, is a change election. And the problem for Joe Biden, a guy who was 8 years as vice president and before that senator since I think 1972, it's hard to argue that I am the candidate of change. At best, you can say I'm the candidate of changing back to the way things were 4 years ago. But that's not really change. That's reversion.
Right.
But see, I don't want him to argue that I'm the candidate of change. Because I don't care about change. I care about defeating Donald Trump. And I want the person that I believe has the best chance to defeat Donald Trump. I am laser focused.
So
this is the first election that I haven't sat there and said, okay, what's this candidate on the issues? What's that candidate on the issues? There's one issue. Who is best positioned to defeat Donald Trump? And in my opinion, at this point, that's Joe Biden, hands down. And now, whether it stays that way, I don't know.
This is where I get really uncomfortable without having any Republicans in the room, because I think that the argument is why? Why should we defeat Donald Trump when the economy is doing well, when jobs are being added, when, you know, the policies, you know, we seem to be holding some line with North Korea? I mean, what?
No.
Well, I mean, that's what they would be arguing.
No.
I'm trying to find the line that they're arguing.
I know. You're trying to channel your inner Republican.
My dad would be like, look, I like what this guy's doing. You know, he's standing up to people.
In a normal election with a normal president, he'd be well over 50% in the polls in favorability, and he'd have an outstanding chance to win re-election with the economy the way it is.
So what makes you want to replace him? What is it about him? What is it about his presidency that you want to get him out of office for?
I think that I think if we do not defeat Donald Trump in 2020, I think the country is seriously at risk.
For what?
Because
here we are. A lot of people thought that the end of the world was going to come within a year of him being president.
Because Donald Trump is a threat to all of our values.
Well,
because Donald Trump is somebody who believes that separating children is the right way to go. Because Donald Trump is somebody who has who is threatening to eliminate the Affordable Care Act with no replacement, thereby throwing millions of people off their health insurance who desperately need coverage.
Oh, no, he has a replacement.
Donald Trump, who, by the way, is also a threat to the entire global order because of his disruptive nature with Europe, with the EU, with NATO, because Donald Trump is a disaster for the planet.
But other than that.
Other than that, he's great.
He's okay. But he does have
the country does not survive just because of jobs. And by the way, I don't believe that a year from now, we're going to be looking at an economy that's producing jobs at this clip. Last month, the economy produced jobs at 20,000.
You know, this is something I needed to be able to, we're probably going to address this next week with a couple of my guests, but have you seen the numbers of all the trade jobs that are going unfilled because we don't have enough skilled workers, and that number is going to continue to grow in the next decade? And I mean, there has to be, we have to address that somehow.
Yeah, immigration. Seriously.
No, seriously.
I know.
Go to the Philippines, India, and can I go back to Joe Biden
just for a second?
Yeah.
I want to go back to Joe Biden because, I've liked Joe Biden, but every time I get into an argument with somebody who explains that what's happening with Joe Biden and women with the invasion of the personal space, oh, he's just of a different generation. I want to scream at them and say, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He's of a generation from way back when. It's time to move on. We need to.
Here's the thing.
We need to go into the future with somebody who is more reflective of today's you know, and, values and people.
And not only that, but the people that
he's creepy.
The people whose space he invades, they're in their own person. I mean, like it doesn't feel different because he's from another generation. It doesn't feel less or feel better or it's okay because, oh, that's just Joe. We keep quiet. We, you know, and I talked about this on the Mincing Rascals. I've gone for decades with being touched and had my hair smelled and groped and, you know, not screamed and not slapped somebody because it's for self-preservation. And so the women that are coming forward, we should listen. And I understand there's so many men that are feeling defensive and women who are like, oh, well, you should have said something and shame on you. And this is also your fault. Well, let's have the conversation. But whatever generation he's from, the women are still experiencing it regardless of what generation.
So is hair smelling a thing?
It's a thing.
But, I didn't know that was a thing.
Two things I'll point out. The about 60% of the Democratic primary voters are over the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I would bet many of them are struggling in the way that Joe is struggling.
Right.
Second, he's not perfect. Third, about 4 months ago, I was asked to list 5 reasons that would prevent Joe Biden from being president. This was number one on my list. Because I've seen it. I've seen it going back to 1987. He is always...
So why didn't you ever say anything? Why didn't you ever say anything?
He's hugged me and kissed me. Oh, he's talked to me by putting his forehead on my forehead. And I just wanted to leave, but that's the way he is.
The difference is, though, is that when he gave you a hug, unlike these women... You know, when it wasn't the same for you because these women, he walked right up to them and grabbed them right by the pigtails.
But the thing, I will say this. If I were to walk up to you right now and we would have a conversation, I put my hands on your shoulders and then I would put my forehead to touch your forehead, you would feel weird. I felt weird when he did that with me. But I knew he didn't mean anything by it. He was enthusiastic.
Yeah.
But I did walk away going, ooh, that was kind of weird. You want to get out of there when that's happening. So I can only imagine. I mean, he did it to my wife. And he kissed her. So, you know, it's the way Joe
why
is.
Why do people kiss? I just don't
know. You know,
to Ken's,
let's see how what he does from now on.
To Ken's point, a lot of the voters are older. And a lot of the polls show that, you know what older voters don't want?
An older person.
An older person.
Really?
Younger candidates, which is why I'm just going to say right now, the 46th Mayor president of the United States, Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, my God in heaven. Okay, well.
Wow.
But I actually think this is a good question.
He's got the most money so far, doesn't he?
So no, here's no, the no, question. No. Here's the
I
question.
Thought he had a lot.
He has a tremendous amount for the fact that he is only in the exploratory committee phase.
Let me just raise this right now, and we'll just put it on the table because everybody on every talk show skirts the issue. Do you believe with certainty that America is ready to support and to elect a gay man president of the United States?
Yes.
Maybe.
With certainty?
Yes.
You're 100% certain?
I am maybe certain.
There's no issue?
No issue.
No issue. Okay, well.
No issue. We just elected a...
Totally different things. Chicago and president of the United States, leader of the free world, totally different
things. I know,
things.
But Ken, there's no way... that 2.5 years ago, I would have thought that the United States of America was ready to elect a guy like Donald Trump.
Well.
Ditto.
But again.
I think most people were like, he'll never win.
But my point is on his sexuality, okay? And I mean, I've worked in the black community.
Donald Trump's sexuality?
I've heard all about it.
Joe's.
My point is, I don't know if America is ready to elect a gay man president or not. Buttigieg is unbelievably impressive in every respect. I mean, he's fantastic. But it's that uncertainty... That tells me that in this election, I cannot support him because we have Darth Vader on the other side who we must defeat. We can't take any risks, can't take any chances. We got to go with our best foot forward. And we can't take a risk that America may love Pete, but aren't going to vote for him because he's his sexual preference.
Take the risk. So let me do this, though, because I think that we all have our favorite candidate. But the most telling thing, I think, is if you were forced to, if I'm telling you now, your candidate drops out of the race, who's your number two?
I don't have one yet. Okay. It won't be Pete because I don't know if America will support a gay man as president. Therefore, I won't take that risk. Not in this election. If it were another election, maybe against a Bush, I'd be willing to take the shot because I think the benefits of even running and losing are so powerful because it's such a sends such a huge statement that would be worth doing, but not in this race. We cannot screw around in this race.
I have a series of number twos. I don't have a number one.
Sorry, but no. Can I come to your number twos when we come back? But I will say this, and this will be you'll have to think about this during. Well, you'll just have to sit with it during the news. I think if the election were today with all these candidates, not a single one of them beats Donald Trump. More after this on 720 WGN. I really believe that.
Spring is coming, and if you want to take better care of your home and need help figuring out how to do it, then listen to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, every Saturday morning from 7 to 10 a.m.
Springtime advice and your chance to ask questions. House Smarts Radio and Lou Manfredini, brought to you by Ace, the helpful place. Later this morning at 7.
720 WGN.
After the news, we also want to come back and talk a little about some local issues in the state of Illinois, which actually I think will be interesting to those living around the country because, you know, every state has a different tax policy, different way we tax our citizens in order to pay for things. So let's talk about that a little bit, too, because we do have you have a super duper. What did was it Jeannie Iams said you have a super duper Uber?
Tony McCombie.
Oh, Tony McCombie
super
said that?
Super duper duper majority.
Duper. I don't know how many dupers you need. It is time now for our news. Here with everything you need to know is Roger Badish. I have a question for our guests in the studio. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we are joined by Kenji Kubowski, Mike Lieber, Dave Lundy, and Representative Robert Martwick. And we are missing Eric Elk tonight and hope that he is well and that everything is okay. Here's my question. What do the following states have in common? Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Utah. Anybody? Oh, hands are, I believe you might have tied, but go ahead. What do they have in common?
Flat tax.
That's right. They have a flat tax, which some people think is a simple and fair way to do it. Other people say that it's a places an undue burden on low earners. And now that we have, I believe Governor Pritzker ran on moving forward with a progressive tax, and a lot of people wonder if that means that we have to change the Constitution. So we have questions, Representative Martwick. How are you doing?
And I have answers.
Yay!
I have answers. Yeah, that is correct. So, you know, I think one of the biggest arguments that came out of the last campaign for governor was this issue of, you know, when we start talking about the flat tax that we have and the progressive or fair tax graduated rate structure that 37 other states have, the real question is how are these states performing? And since the recession, the states that have graduated rate structures have really performed so much better. States like Minnesota and California and Oregon have been able to clean up their finances because the growth in the economy has been amongst the people who produce the most income, not the middle class. So in Illinois, we have a very unfair tax system. We have the eighth most unfair tax system in the country. We put more of a burden of funding our government on the backs of the people that are least equipped to pay, middle class, working class, and poor, and we put a much lower burden on people who have been succeeding so well in our economy. So Governor Pritzker's proposal is, let's change our Constitution, let's adopt a rate structure that has a fair tax with higher rates on people who make more money.
And that's something that he did from the very beginning, say that, you know, someone like him should be paying more in taxes. And the, you know, a lot of people are wondering, I know that John Williams talks about this a lot on his podcast, you know, where does it start? Because, you know, who, you know, does it start at a quarter million, you know, that your taxes are going to go up? Where does it go down? Is it under $50,000 a year is where your taxes go down?
Yeah. So what the governor's proposed rate structure does is that anyone making $250,000 a year or less will pay lower taxes than they do under our current tax structure. Anyone making more than $250,000 will begin to pay more, all the way up to $1 million, which will be the highest rate structure.
Because I think, isn't it in Wisconsin where it's a sort of a range? They're anywhere from like 3% to 11%?
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, it's 4 to 7.65. Every state has a different structure. New York has higher rates that go into the teens. California has rates that go into the teens. Hawaii and Oregon have rates that go into the teens. The proposed rate structure here in Illinois would be from 4.7 until 7.95. So relatively flat.
Yeah, that's a narrow range.
I could say, as someone that would have to pay higher taxes under this proposal.
Oh, really? Okay. So you're paying for dinner next time, just so you know. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I won't, because it'll be going to the state. But no, I certainly would support this because the state needs it. We have to do this. And, you know, I think it makes sense. We certainly should put the burden on those that can most afford to pay it, even though, you know, it's not like we're swimming in dough, but we'll make our contribution and do it gladly.
Well, and Ken, I appreciate that. And I think that there's something really important to point out here that, you know, so many people have said that this is like some sort of penalty on people that are doing well. And that's not the case at all. When you are the eighth most regressive, the eighth most unfair tax state, the reason that people are leaving the state, you hear this all the time, people are fleeing the state because of high taxes. That's true. You know who's fleeing because of high taxes?
The lower
middle class,
folks.
Working middle class, and poor, because they can't afford it.
Huh.
This is a reforming of our tax system to make it more fair, to balance it out, and I think it's a good way to go about it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
And in order for it to happen, there has to be a constitutional amendment, or the people have to vote, or how does it work?
So the process is that we in the legislature have to get a supermajority to vote to place a constitutional amendment on the ballot. So that means we need 71 members in the House of Representatives to vote to place the amendment on the ballot. If we do that, if we're able to get those votes, then in the 2020 general election and with the presidential in November, there will be a question on the ballot and voters will go in. It needs a 60% approval rate. If we achieve that, then in 2021, we will be able to change the structure.
And then one more question. If it's approved, at a later date, the tax percentages can change. For example, you could say, okay, millionaires, instead of 7-point-something, we're going to push it up to 9%, or we're going to push it down to 6%, right?
That is correct. And so that's one of the arguments that's being made by the opponents, is that this is a blank check. This is a blank check because the legislature will be able to change the rates to whatever they want. Guess what? We already can, right?
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that right now it's a flat rate. There's nothing that would prevent the legislature from moving it up to an 8% flat rate or down to a 3% flat rate. We can do whatever we want. The history of Illinois is that tax changes come few and far between. It doesn't happen a lot. So that's why one of the things that's been really good about Governor Pritzker's proposal is that he has said, let's get the rates out right away so people know what they're buying. They know what they're getting. There will be a transparency and certainty. And so he wants the rates voted on at the same time as we vote on the Constitution.
And under this proposal, 97% of the taxpayers in the state of Illinois will pay the same or less, and most of those will be paying less.
And it's not like the tax rate's going up to 50% or 70% or 75% like it used to be at the federal level, or 90% like it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not...
The worst case scenario for people making more than $1 million a year will see a 3% tax increase.
So, Representative Martwick, how would you respond to those on the other side who say, you know what, I hear you, I get that it's only gonna be paid by 3%, but you know what, the state's just cut. You guys just need to get serious about cutting. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would point to the last 4 years under Governor Rauner, who, when we were faced with a $7 billion budget hole, he proposed $3.5 billion of cuts for a $7 billion hole. In other words, he couldn't make the necessary cuts. But even those cuts that he proposed, he couldn't get anywhere near more than a handful of Republicans to actually agree to him because they were so devastating. He cut things like in-home care for senior citizens, mental health services, autism and epilepsy care. He cut Meals for Wheels. He cut special education programs for children. Republicans didn't want to vote for these cuts. The low-hanging fruit has been picked off the tree. There aren't cuts. We're at the point now when we make cuts, we're making what I call stupid cuts, where we save a dollar today and cost $5 tomorrow.
But you can argue that the institution of the tax would actually lead to cuts in the state budget because you'll be paying off pension. You'll have lower interest payments. Therefore, the budget itself, the overall hit on the budget, will be reduced, correct?
Absolutely. This is about being fiscally responsible. You cannot be a fiscal conservative and allow the state to continue to accumulate debt. All that does is ensure even higher and higher taxes. Once you get to a point where you're running a stable government without running deficits, you ensure that there will not be future tax increases.
I'm excited because Anthony has been texting throughout the show tonight and is calling because with one specific question, but I'm thrilled to welcome you to the conversation. Hey, Anthony, how are you doing?
All right, Patty, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you want to say?
Well, I wanted to speak to the representative. You know, he mentioned how these states with flat taxes aren't doing as well with the ones with progressive taxes. I'd like to know how Florida is doing so well with no tax at all.
Well, Florida doesn't have no tax at all. They just have a very different tax structure.
They have no state income tax. So they, right. they tax on goods instead.
They have a statewide property tax. So they have different things,
the property tax is funny you mentioned because a similar house to mine in Illinois that's costing me $9,000 a year would cost me $1,500 in Florida.
So,
they do have a property tax.
So, and here's the thing, Anthony, and I get what you're saying. I'm not suggesting Illinois is a low-tax state. But the reason that Illinois is a high-tax state is that Illinois has the highest debt in the country. Why? Because for decades...
Self-created.
Because for decades... politicians in this state refused to balance budgets and created a massive debt. That debt sucks up the budget, causes massive debt payments, and there's no way, the only way you'll ever get to be a low-tax state, which there's nothing more I would like, is if you have a plan to pay back your debts and return your state to fiscal responsibility. That's not going to happen unless you're matching your revenues with your expenses. So,
well, am I not right when I say that our number one obligation, our pensions, that's what's killing us?
Yes, that's without a doubt. That is the majority of our debt is the debt that we owe to our pension systems, and it's something that we have to address. That's part of the reason for this is that typically when we've run budget deficits, the first thing that gets shorted is the pensions, which is the dumbest thing you could ever do because when you short the pensions, you only guarantee that that cost is going to be dramatically more down the road and it's going to cause a future tax increase. So when you do this now, when you put the state in a situation where we're balancing our budgets and we can actually pay towards those pensions, you start to put the state on a path towards prosperity and fiscal responsibility and being able to afford to pay for a tax decrease.
Yes, Steve?
Yeah, just one quick thing about the comparison between Florida and Illinois. Everybody loves to talk about Florida because Florida doesn't have a state income tax.
Neither
does Texas. Florida has a massive tourism influx. Florida raises so much money from out-of-state people who come into the state as tourists.
Well, true.
That's where the money flows in from. So they don't need to have the same kind of tax structure that we have here.
Illinois is in the top 10 in revenue. Okay, we have money. We just spend it poorly.
Yeah, but 25% of our money right now is going to pay for pensions.
Shouldn't even exist in the first place. Why are we paying a bus driver a pension for the rest of his life? The only people that should be getting pensions are the military, the police, and the fire department.
Why?
Because it's not your neighbor's job to pay your retirement. Have these people put into a 401k or Social Security like the rest of us.
I hear you, but the fact is, you can't just wave a magic wand and make those pensions go away. We have
as
the obligation.
As of tomorrow, we have no new pensions. We pass a directive as of tomorrow. People are in it. Yep, you're screwed.
That's
as
not tomorrow, our problem. Is not
and
future.
Fire department only.
And this is
the Democrats will never do it because those guys are in your back pocket.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now this is devolving. So.
Yes.
Well, all right.
That's
so,
what it is.
No, Anthony.
Anthony. Union.
That's not what it is. And I appreciate
it is what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Anthony.
Well, that you saying it
I mean,
doesn't
you're not
make it right.
Say that. I mean, you're not going to throw shade over your supporters, are you?
I'm not elected by anybody, Anthony. What I'm telling you is that the Supreme Court of the state of Illinois has again and again and again upheld the clause in the state constitution passed in 1970 that says that state pensions cannot be diminished, period, full stop. So as much as you might like to not pay the pensions, we don't actually have a choice. And the amount of and we already have passed a tier two pension system, which is creating problems in attracting teachers and other service workers into the state of Illinois. So the problem is past. The problem is not what's happening in the future.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Anthony. I don't want to turn into a yelling match because that's where we were headed. So have a great weekend, Anthony, and thank you for all the texts and for calling in and joining the conversation. I wanted to make sure that we also let people know that there is a town hall.
Absolutely. Yes. Monday at the Copernicus Center, which is on Lawrence Avenue, just west of the Kennedy, just east of Milwaukee. I think it's 5216 West Lawrence Avenue, the Copernicus Center, Monday at 7 p.m. We're going to have a fair tax town hall. We're going to talk about the governor's proposal and how it will affect you. So come by, ask questions, get some answers, learn about this. If this goes well, the decision about whether or not Illinois adopts a fair tax proposal will be up to the voters. So come and learn and make an informed decision.
Right. So it'll be a much broader, long, obviously, a lot where people will be able to ask questions.
Absolutely. We had one tonight out in Norridge, and we had tons of questions, probably had an hour's worth of questions, and it was really very productive and informative.
Okay. Again, that's on Monday night, 7 p.m. at the Copernicus Center, which is right over by there in our neighborhood and Jefferson Park on Lawrence Avenue, right by the Jefferson Park Depot. So you can take the any of the blue line, you can take any of your buses on the northwest side to come to that. Yes, of course, Ken.
And I, to go back to Anthony for a moment, I know where he's coming from, because out of frustration, I've made almost the same argument he's made with Dave Lundy and our phone calls. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't do us any good to look back and to complain about decisions that have already been made that you cannot unwind. We have to look forward. The tax proposal is a good first step, and down the road it will position us to where property tax relief can come and other things can happen. But until we get the budget under control, until we tax people fairly in the state of Illinois, we're going nowhere. And we just can't keep arguing about decisions that were made by the last 9, 10, 11, 12 governors.
Of both parties, by the way.
Both parties. It started with Jim Edgar.
And actually, there was even being done back in the late 30s and early
40s. So, as frustrated as I am, I get where Anthony's coming from. I share his frustration, but we've got to do this. We're stuck with it. We've got to reduce the amount of interest that we're paying in the annual budget. It gives us more flexibility to do things like have property tax relief statewide and other things.
And I think a lot of people in Illinois would also would want to know if going forward, if we are reining in what is going on with pensions, if we are being better managers of the assets and also the obligations and the promises that we make.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, and that is a responsibility of government is to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollar. There is so much misinformation about what's going on out there. And when you hear a guy like Anthony, it's clear that he's repeating talking points that he's heard. Not a lot of them are based in fact, unfortunately. And so there's a lot of misinformation about pensions.
And a lot of frustration.
Dave noted that in 2010, Illinois passed sweeping pension reform called Tier 2, and the pensions that we have now are cheaper to pay for Tier 2 pensions than they would be to invest into Social Security and a 401k.
We are going to take a break here. When we come back, tell me something good. Kella, it was, it was got a little heated there at the end, and it's a good conversation. I know it's weird to do it on Friday, but it's what we've been doing for the last couple of years, and it actually works out for me to wait until Friday to hash it all out with you guys. So thank you so much for just some really great
thoughts. Since August 2016.
Has it been that long? Yeah. Wow. We have to celebrate the summer then somehow.
No, we will.
What day was it? August what?
It was right in the last weekend of August before Labor Day 2016.
August 27th.
More in a moment on 720 WGN. It's time to tell me something good. Tell us all something good. 312-981-7200. At the end of the day, what are you grateful for? And we want to know about it. You can text or call us at 312-981-7200.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI,
on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
We are winding down and about ready to turn the station over to Matt Bubala. We want to know what your something good is tonight. Doc is the first one out of the gate, and then we'll get Tom. Hey, Doc, how are you doing?
Hey, great, Patty. Hey, I saw a great movie today, 5 feet apart.
5 feet apart? Oh, yes.
About the two 18-year-old kids that both have cystic fibrosis. and they can't get any closer than 6 feet apart, or they're liable to catch each other's strain, and it could be fatal. But very uplifting, shed some tears. It just makes you think about a lot of things.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I'm glad.
I highly recommend it.
I'm glad to hear that. It looked like an interesting movie. It looks a little heart. It seems heart-wrenching as well.
I sent you a couple cards to get them.
I did. Thank you so much for those. I appreciate it. Now, you know,
they were supposed to be post-op. But, well,
I know. Yeah, I was unable to. Hopefully, I had to postpone the surgery, and hopefully we'll be able to take care of that down the road. But I appreciate it. They were very funny. They made me laugh. I think I mentioned it on the air. You might not have heard.
Weekend.
Thanks. You too, Doc. Have a great one. Thanks. The 219 says, here's my something good. I'm officially 3 months smoke-free and 42 pounds lighter. Only have 60 more to lose. And that's congratulations.
That's a great feat.
Yes.
Because when you quit smoking, you tend to put on weight. That is fantastic.
Yeah. They say, I feel better than I ever have. Congratulations, 219. The 815 says, my nephew starts with the Secret Service as an agent in training, and we are so excited for him. That's wonderful.
Awesome.
Congratulations on that one. Wow, these are great. Something good. I know this is a good one, too. Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Wonderful. How about yourself?
We're doing well, and we want to know what your something good is.
Well, I called you 3 weeks ago when I told you I was close.
Yes.
I just finished my 45th radiation treatment.
Oh.
I'm done.
And you're done with the radiation. Congratulations. Oh, it's got to be a good feeling.
Oh, my God.
Did you finish today?
Yes. Yes.
Congratulations. I've gone through that. Keep in mind that over the next week, you're still going to feel the effects of it. So stay, you know, just don't overexert yourself. In about 7 days, you're going to feel like $1 million. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a miracle. You know, that's all I can say.
Oh, it's great. And good spirits, you know, that helps get, you know, it's part of the battle. So we're so glad to hear
Absolutely.
From you, Tom. Have a wonderful weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
Take care. And I know it's like, those are some really good something goods. I want to say my something good was having the opportunity to do the LOL stand-up event for the Northwestern Medicine, Northwestern Hospitals, Del Nor Hospital, CDH, their scholarship program. We raised some money for some students. And then, you know, it's nice to encourage young people to stay in their communities and give back. So that was a lot of fun. Representative Martwick, you want to give us a something good?
Well, mine has to be that I passed my elected school board bill, which I really believe we're going to get to the governor's desk and we're going to get signed. And finally, after a decade-long fight, the citizens of the city of Chicago, the residents of the city of Chicago, the taxpayers, students, will have elected accountability over their school. So I'm really excited about that. Very excited today about how well our first town hall on the fair tax went, and looking forward to having many more conversations with people and discussing the issue. So it's a good week.
Excellent. Dave?
You know, I hate to go back to where we started tonight, but as the former board chair of the Better Government Association and a member of the board of a couple other reform groups in the state, I never in a million years would have thought that a former BGA board member would wind up becoming mayor of the city of Chicago and win by almost 50 points. So, you know, maybe this town is finally ready for reform.
Maybe. We'll see what happens, Mike.
Well, mine is a lot more boring. My brother is coming to town from Florida next weekend.
Yay!
And we're going to take a train from here, an Amtrak train to Seattle. So this time, a week from tonight,
Do you get rooms?
We got a little room. And this time, a week, like from this moment, a week from now, be somewhere in western Minnesota.
Wow. All right. Enjoy. I've taken that. I've been in Minnesota. It goes through North Dakota.
I've been on that one.
Goes through Minot. Yep.
And actually, you know, when you're in western Minnesota a week from now, you can hear the Patty Vasquez show on WGN.
That's right.
I'm going to stream it live. Maybe I'll try and call
it.
No,
you don't just stream it. Just on the AM radio.
You gas up in Minneapolis.
Right, right.
You gas up in Minneapolis, by the way, if you stay on the train. Ken, what's your something good?
Had a great time tonight at the Alphonsus Academy and Center for the Arts daddy-daughter dance.
Aww.
It was a lot of fun going with my 9-year-old. We had a nice picture. We danced. We had a great time. And I would be remiss if I didn't congratulate the DePaul men's basketball team. While they lost tonight in the championship game of the CBI championship, it was wonderful for them. They've gotten there. It's typically a stepping stone for teams. So big things are going on for DePaul. And we hope great success in the future for Dave Leto and the team.
Excellent. And Ro, before we go, I don't want to leave you out of this. Tell me something good.
Well, you know, I'm so very close with my Illinois Media School family.
Yes.
And they just had a graduation today. So I was up there earlier making sure I said congratulations.
Aww,
wonderful. And hugs and love. So just if anybody's listening, congratulations again, guys. I love you. And that's my tell me something good. It was just good to see them successful and doing their thing and in the industry, because you know.
Outstanding. And Roger, I don't want to leave you out of this. I know I'm eating into your news, but do you want to tell us something good?
Two words. I'm here.
Yay! That is something. That's the best something good. Everyone had a great something good. Well, everyone have a great weekend. Matt Bubala is up next.